Alrighty, welcome back to Rock Talk Podcast. Today we're joined by Rusted Hand, if you can't tell. Rusted Hand is comprised of Tanner Halverson on the drums, Grant Neely on the bass, and my man Keith Conant on the guitar and vocals. How you guys doing today?
Yeah, good, man. What's up?
Fuck yeah. So, if you guys are interested in checking them out, I know they just played at Cruisers Bar and Grill for the Backyard Festival, but they also have coming up in August, on August 7th, Empire Alt Fest over at Cruisers Bar and Grill.
Yeah. So
I had a quick question for you guys. And another thing I also, all of you guys, please answer and answer as much as you guys want. So the first thing is, when were you guys formed?
Long answer or short answer?
Long
answer. Okay, we're going to start with long answer. Rusted Hand was formed in 2016. I am the only remaining original member, and but these guys are where Rusted Hand's at. So, the new Rusted Hand. Fist of Fury.
Yeah, what was it? You, Tanner, linked up with Keith a couple years ago, almost, probably.
And we had Robert was our bassist at that time.
Yeah, so it originally started out, we had another guy, Jeremy Hermosillo, on drums, another guy, Jeff, can't think of his last name at the moment, but he was on bass, and that's where we originally formed. Like, one of our first shows was here in Spokane at Bureaucracy. It was an open mic, and that's where we began, man. And then we went through a couple bass players, a couple drummers, and now we're where we're at now, yeah.
Fuck yeah. And something that really was something I'm really interested in, where did the name come from, Rusted Hand?
That was a good question. So it's actually from a Stone Temple Pilots song, the Interstate Love song, when he said, Rusted Hand of Shame.
Nice. something that I really was interested in and asking when I talked to a bunch of bands is how has this recent pandemic affected the way you guys record and practice?
Good question. Fuck, man, we took a while off, sort of, when it was kind of getting crazy. We were like, well, Keith's wife is a nurse, so, you know, she's a first responder, and I'm not technically called a nurse first responder, but she's at the hospital. So she was doing her thing, and Tanner and I think we were still working. We're both kind of in construction and electrical work, and I know we were both working, but I think we definitely took some time off just being inside Keith's over Keith's house where we play, because it's, I don't know, it was just kind of, we didn't want to, I guess. We didn't feel like we could. We didn't really feel like we could for a while, but we picked it back up pretty hard, I think, and pretty quick. We really didn't take that much time off.
I would say probably like a couple months, maybe, before we really like, all right, you know, we'll be careful, you know, and just make sure everybody's not sick when they come over or whatnot, you know.
Yeah.
Please, you know. So.
Cool.
For a while, it was just hunkering down the last part of the pandemic. I guess we're still in the pandemic, but really,
yeah,
just tighten up without having any distractions.
Yeah. No shows equals more practice.
Yeah.
More rehearsal time. So it might have been a blessing overall. You know?
Yeah, definitely. It's actually something I've heard of from a lot of bands, is that a lot of bands are looking at it as a blessing because it's managed to help them tighten themselves up a little bit more.
Yeah, exactly.
For sure. Yeah. And kind of like explore, like, coming back out of it now, like exploring new venues almost too, and like, because you got new bar owners and new places that want to now be open for music, maybe when they weren't really, that wasn't their main thing initially either. So everyone's trying to like get more people out, however they can,
more opportunities.
Well, and then there's a lot of venues that have closed down because of this too.
Yeah, rest in peace, The Pin.
Yeah, exactly. The Pin, you know, I mean, that we've opened up for Michael Graves there, Brand of Jewels.
That was my first show with you guys.
Yeah, that was, in fact, his first show with us as a drummer. So, you know, so many good memories right there, you know. And Chelsea, man, she just did such a good job bringing in good acts, you know. So hopefully, yeah, with any luck, maybe she'll bring something back, you know what I mean?
Fuck yeah. Yeah. Definitely. And I had a question. What's the recording process like with you guys? Does you guys all go in at the same time, or is it everyone goes in separate for their respective parts?
Yeah, no, so far, right, any recording that we've done recently, we've all gone in, laid down scratch tracks, and then just, you know, then we might come back and lay down guitar or drums, or we might do it all while we're there. But so far, we've all been in on it and haven't had to do it from separate, you know, locations. So,
And this is actually something I've recently been I heard of. Apparently, the demo age is leaving us. Are you guys still a make a demo, work on the track, and then come and record a final track, or are you guys just record a final version?
I'm actually still for the demos. Yeah, really. I mean,
I would call our song Desperation kind of a demo that we have right now.
Yeah, we have three songs that are kind of demos right now. We did release one, What's Your Name, on Spotify and Apple. So go download that.
Check it out.
Yeah,
check it out.
Download it. It's good. Come on.
Yeah sweet. But I mean, it's still somewhat of a demo, but you know, we want to get something out there. And eventually, I mean, we're going to get an album out, but right now we're just kind of working on the short term, get an EP, something like that, and just really push it. You know, I think a lot of bands right now are working on singles, just kind of dropping singles, you know?
Yep. Because
right now, there's really not a whole lot of, I mean, not a whole lot of people are buying albums, you know? Yeah. You might download your single, but I mean, it's sad, but that's the fact of the matter, yeah?
Yep. And something I've actually liked doing recently by whenever I do manage to have the full band on, is asking each member, what is your favorite part of being in a band? So whoever wants to go first, please.
Go, Tanner, go.
Drummer, go.
Go, drummer.
Well, I'd say my favorite would probably be playing shows, I guess.
And cowbell.
Yeah, and cowbell.
Or since we're here, it's going to be couch bell.
Yeah, couch bell.
He forgot his drumsticks, so typical drummer.
How dare you?
I don't know, and I enjoy the creating process a lot. You know, it really brings out our artistic side in all of us. Mm-hmm. Especially, yeah, like revamping, you know, old Rusted Hand songs. You know, they change so much.
Fuck yeah.
Dude, I'll go next. I mean, sure. I think I just, like, yeah, we just played a show 2 days ago, and it's like, you know, it's that fun feeling where you get to finally, like, get out in front of people and perform your stuff, and you're always nervous about it, and you're always a little, like, apprehensive maybe a little bit about certain parts or certain things that you guys are working on together. But, like, I remember when we all, like, you know, 30 seconds before we went on, it's just like, fuck it.
Balls to the wall, let's do it.
Yeah, like, don't hold back.
You don't have a choice after that, right?
Yeah, don't hold back, and you just go for it, and that's when everything is super fun. And, like, when you're in the studio, it's a little bit different. You know, you kind of tone it back and really dial everything in, and you want to be really presentable. But if you want to be presentable live, but you also want to have fun, and that's, for me, I think that's the most fun thing about being in a band. The music and creating is right. You know, right up at the top too, but kind of just getting out there and being a little, kind of getting a little weird, you know, being a little different than your normal day to day. That's how.
Hell yeah.
I'm gonna have to agree with, like, I mean, it's just creativeness. Like Tanner was saying, you know, from where Rusted Hand was, you know, even 2 years ago, I mean, the songs have morphed completely with, you know, just these guys' different creativity. Mm-hmm. And they're better than they ever were, you know. So, like, when I read a song, you know, I had this orchestra in my head, and I hear this drum line, I hear a bass line. It is very simple, but then these guys come in and go bah, 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 and then they blow out all these ideas, and I'm like, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, you
know, just keep it growing, and the song just becomes exponential, you know.
After the instructions of,
it's a good word, right? It's exponential.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
His drumming instructions. He goes,
But he gets it, and he understands. It's pop out, boom, back.
As a vocalist, I can say that is how we end up doing it. We don't know the instrument well enough to tell you. We just go, do.
Yeah, this guy is the best at it. I'm telling you, this guy can do scat. Because he gets so animated, and he's all, you remember that part where we're going, bang, jiggle, waka, waka, bang, bang, waka, waka,
waka, waka. It's pretty accurate.
You know, but it is. But we get him. And we're like, yeah, I remember that part. I remember it.
It's like the universal musician's language. Mm-hmm. Like, especially when it's like right at the top of your head, you have no like English words to actually describe it. It's just like this fucking modge of like noises
I do
and
too.
Sounds.
It's gibberish. It's musical gibberish.
Hell yeah. So now that we are, I'd say, on the ass end of this pandemic, knock on wood.
Probably, yes.
What is something that you guys feel is positive that you could take away from the experience of this past year?
I'll go first. I mean, just being thankful, you know, being thankful that you know, even during something like this, that the music still prevails. I mean, it's a universal language, right? And it just prevails no matter what. It helps you through your day. It doesn't matter what kind of music you listen to, you know?
Yeah, I think it's, like, still part of, like, there's, like, family aspect, there's a team aspect, you know, it's not like you're just on your own all the time. I mean, you got other homies, and you got, like, your, I mean, this is probably not, like, a hobby. It's a little more than a hobby at this point, you know, it's a little more of, like, a serious part of our every week, mm-hmm. you know, and then weekends in the summer and any time when we're trying to get together and play shows, it's super fun.
I'd say one thing would probably be the social media aspect of it, because that's really kept music alive during the pandemic.
That's true.
So that's something I'm thankful for.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
We love to hate Facebook, don't we?
Yeah.
Right?
Thank you, Facebook.
Get zucked.
But also, fuck you.
One of my favorite things to ask bands whenever they come on my podcast is what would be the dream lineup for you to be a part of? Just Rusted Hand plus any band you could dream of.
Soundgarden.
Ooh.
Temple of the Dog.
Sublime. Why not?
Sublime.
Just go there.
Seriously, right?
Or like Long Beach Dub All Stars at this
even,
point.
Even, well, I mean, you have to go to the next, obviously, that some of these guys aren't around. I think for me it'd be Stone Temple Pilots. So they've always been a huge influence in my music, you know, that I write anyway. And to be able to perform with even just one of those guys would be amazing. You know,
hell yeah.
Stone Age. No, you're right. There you go.
Queens of the Stone Age. Just so we can play a show with the
Foo Fighters. Let's just keep going, man. We can do it all night long, baby.
That is one thing I like about the question. It is open enough that where if you wanted to, you could just elaborate on it for hours.
I do have one more too. I would really, if I had the chance to perform with the Doors, that would be.
Ooh.
That'd be my go-to. In their prime, not in the Hotel Morrison days.
Yeah. I would just love to do a show with Led Zeppelin in the Caris Alhambra days. And like that, in that's a song, In for the Outdoor.
Right. God, right.
That is such an underrated Zeppelin album, I feel.
It is. It's rarely spoken.
They're kind of like, that's like on my bucket list of like top shows if I was to ever have seen a show back in the day. Rage Against the Machine, Led Zeppelin, and then, like, I don't know, probably, like, Jimi Hendrix or something for me, but
some old school stuff.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. And actually, scooting back to that old question about the dream lineup, what would be the dream venue of doing that at? Do you guys have, like, a specific venue that you, like, would love to play at?
What about Spokane Local? Can we start Spokane Local?
Go for it.
Big Dipper, yeah, Big Dipper. No, I mean, you know, sure. Yeah, start local.
Big Dipper.
Big Dipper. Yeah, I want to play at the Big Dipper locally. That seems like a pretty fun venue.
It is.
Always draws a big crowd. I mean, I guess it depends on the band playing.
And they're gearing back up, too, so.
Yeah.
We'll get in there. Mm-hmm. Keep watching for us at hand, you know? For me, I think ultimately and immediately, the Whiskey a Go-Go would be a great place. I mean, that's a lot of bands, like, that's like their first big thing, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, but aside from local, Whiskey a Go-Go, I think that would be a great place to play. You know, get a good lineup and just nail it down, memorable.
Fuck yeah.
I don't know if I actually really have anything. Anywhere where there's just, like, packed shitload of people. really close to the stage.
Name some venues and then we'll agree with you.
The one I always hear the most of, especially in U.S., what I would say is Madison Square Garden.
Well, yeah, that's pretty big. I think of WWE, and I don't know.
But the biggest one I've always heard of when it comes to abroad is the O2 in the UK.
Oh, yeah, right. Seriously.
Yeah.
But the UK, they have huge venues, and they love, I mean, well, they love punk, and they love all that stuff, you know, so.
Yeah, just Europe in general has a great view on music. They don't look at genres.
Not really. They
play the same the show as the Pixies play.
Right. Yeah. Well, in like Europe, and then even down in Mexico, man, they love rock and punk, and you know, we've already been streamed down there a few times. Like, sweet.
Fuck yeah.
It's on in Mexico, baby.
Rusted Hands going international, baby.
Right.
Dude, let's go.
We're going south of the border.
You know, there's like Santa Cruz too, man. Mm-hmm. There's what is that, the Catalyst down there?
Mm.
They've had a lot of like old punk groups come through, and they do like bluegrass, and I've seen reggae shows there, and it's like such a weird little beach town, you know, but it's it's like one of those cool venues that has like the upper side balconies, kind of, that, you know, it's kind of a long, narrow space.
The VIPs.
Yeah, but not
kinda,
even.
But not even. Just a street. Great. You got upper crowd and lower crowd.
Hell yeah. Now, some of that I also like asking is, because it's always a different question, too, between the two of them, is for in-studio, what is the one piece of gear that you just need? You can't go into the studio without it.
Drum set.
Tuner. That's a good question. Fresh strings, man. I think that's a good one, you know. Fresh strings, batteries.
For a show, yeah.
I think just like, for me, I don't really do a lot of craziness, like, effects-wise, so just gotta make sure my stuff works.
Yeah, batteries. For me, I mean, I think it's really a matter of what we're trying to lay down. So I might have a certain guitar that I know the sound for that, and I want to dial that sound in for that song. So guitars are an important factor to me. And then my Ibanez Tube Screamer pedal. I love that thing. I can't go anywhere without it, and it's on my board, and it just adds so much of a great crunch and distortion that you can't find in any other pedal, you know?
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Well, we are nearing the end of the podcast, so I will go, leaving plenty of time for this because I have free view this time. The question I ask all of my guests at the end is, what are the top five albums that influenced you? So whoever feels like they're ready to go first, go for it. I'd love to hear your answer.
Are you guys prepared?
He told us you'd ask this.
Yeah. I did prepare them. I can go first if you guys want to
go first. Dude.
Right off the bat, it wasn't really so much the album until later, but the first song that I really, really started trying to learn on guitar was Prison Sex by Tool, which is on the Undertow album. And I remember having a boombox and, you know, a tape cassette, and literally like waiting for it to come on the radio so I could push record to record it so that I could, you know, then go back and rewind it as many times as I could to just back and figure it out. So I guess it would be Undertow would be one of my big ones. When I first started playing guitar, Beach Boys. Huge Beach Boys fan. And, maybe not really a particular album, but, if I had to call one out, Surfing USA, classic album. But,
yeah,
it was surf music, but it was still also punk rock back then,
Yeah.
So that one. Rubberneck by the Toadies. That album to me is phenomenal all the way through. Every single song, from start to finish, from Hairless Mexican to, or Mexican Hairless, whatever that song is, all the way to the end. It doesn't matter how you say it, right? Everybody knows what you're talking about. Exactly.
Yep.
What is that? That's three. That's three, right?
Yeah.
Sweet ass guy.
Hey, man, we're going to drag this fucker out to the end, right? I don't want 25 minutes. I want 27 minutes, Dan.
Well, I'll rattle off.
No. Let me finish.
Okay.
Thanks for being a sport. pour some beer in my cream liqueur. Next one's gonna have to be Soundgarden Super Unknown. there's so many. I'm gonna have to go back to the Doors. LA Woman. Great album.
How cliche.
I don't mean cliche. I'm just kidding, You think about all the other artists that we admire, we look up to, who were their favorite bands.
Yeah.
They had all the big idols as well. Tanner, your turn. I'll shut up. Grant, your turn. I'll shut up.
Guess my favorite of all time.
Both of me will shut up.
My favorite of all time that I can listen to without any skips would probably be Masters of Reality, Black Sabbath. Just amazing to me.
Nice one.
First drum beat ever that I actually took time to learn on was Sweet Leaf. I love that song. I like the Black Keys a lot, so probably Thick Freakness would probably be one of my favorite ones. Broken Boy Soldier, the Raconteurs. Patrick Keeler, that guy, he's one of my favorite drummers. Then I'm going to have to go with Red Hot Chili Peppers as well. Chad Smith is up there for me. Probably Californication, probably Blood Sugar Sex Magik, actually. That album is a good one. And then Temple of the Dog. That's the name of the album.
He's stuck on repeat, by the way.
that's probably the other album that I can listen to without any skits. That album is definitely one of the most influential.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know which song Renegade the Funk was on by Rage Against the Machine.
Battle of Los Angeles.
That I remember listening to that like in the bus on a CD going to like outdoor school and being like, holy shit. Like, what is this? So I couldn't get that out of my head. But yeah, Rage Against the Machine's awesome. I think 40 Ounces of Freedom by Sublime is just like, I'll just always go there. I always love that. I think
can't go wrong with Sublime, dude.
Bold as Love by Hendrix is pretty phenomenal. And even like, I might get two for one. The Band of Gypsies in the Fillmore, like those shows are just like so awesome. Those vinyls that are out are really cool.
Songs About Jane, Maroon 5.
Oh,
six, motherfucker.
That's not my favorite. It's his favorite. I like Revolver by the Beatles too. I could throw that out a bunch.
Nice.
Is that four? And I don't know.
Led Zeppelin 1, 2, 3, 4.
Right.
Yeah, I think that I think you have one more.
I think I do have one more. Gosh. Oh, sorry, like, guys.
Doesn't he like, man. Really. Like, this is exponential. This could go on forever because I have like five, you know, albums.
Yeah, I have like six or seven.
Yeah. Yeah. I have like 333 that I love.
Gosh. Yeah, I mean, Steel Pulse is also up there for me. They're just another kind of reggae band that I've really, really liked over the years. And they were right there kind of in parallel with Bob Marley and the Wailers back in the day. They're from the UK. Like, any of their early stuff was just really killer. And they're still playing, man. They're actually going to be playing in Spokane at the Pavilion.
Oh, nice.
Holy shit.
These guys are, like, old as hell, but they're, like, so good still. So
okay. Really dude, Sticks. Sticks still kills it.
Relevant. Yeah.
Yeah. Sticks kills it. I've seen them twice in the last few years, in, like, the last, like, 5 years. God damn it.
Yeah. So I've seen them a bunch over, long period of time. They're always cool to check out.
Hell yeah. All right. Well, now it's your guys' turn. The floor is yours. Talk about whatever you guys have coming up. Hey, tell us about any merch, anything.
Yeah, so July 31st, we have a show at Hidden Mother Brewery here in Spokane with Chase the Sun and Day Shadow. Nice. We played with Day Shadow before. This is actually his other band that he plays bass for, and they just kill it, man. But it's going to be a great show. After that, then we got the Empire Alt Fest, which Woo! We briefly talked about that right when we started. That's going to be huge with, like, I mean, Chain Flower, Krusty Mustard, Those Damn Kids. Yeah, I mean, too many to name. It's going to be a great, like, just mix of rock and rap and, you know, and punk. And I'm really looking forward to that one. And by the way, if you get the promo code RUSTED for your tickets for that Empire Alt Fest, you get 25% off starting June 12th of your general admission. So,
go
do it.
Go buy
it. Oh, damn.
Go buy a ticket. Let's pack the house. This is going to be at Cruiser State Line, Idaho. Should be bomb.
Fuck yeah.
Anything else you guys want to say?
No, the Chronic album is also one of my number six. Now that didn't hit me, it did finally come. That was a big influence. But no, dude, we're stoked to be out. Thanks for having us. And we're just excited to be out playing again. And hopefully some more will trickle in even before or after your show goes live on the airwaves. So maybe check us out on Facebook and Instagram. Anybody can follow us on there too, and check out our stuff, keep up with what we're doing.
We recently just made a TikTok.
So we're finally jumping on board with the TikTok, because that's taking off, right?
Oh man, so you guys are talking now.
Instagram, Facebook, I mean, come on, we're there, baby. We're hitting all the platforms.
We're gonna be doing TikTok trends every band practice.
Yeah, I think it should be a ritual now.
Oh dear God.
Yeah, exactly.
What's happened?
Rusted shenanigans abound.
Well, gentlemen, it was my absolute pleasure to have you on. It was great talking to you. I can't wait to meet you guys in person in August. Absolutely. Other than that, best of luck to all of your endeavors. Keep fucking rocking on, my motherfuckers.
Cheers,
that's
man.
It, motherfuckers. This is Rock Talk Podcast. That's Rusted Hand. Suck it,
baby.